Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Forex Fridays here on Money FM 89.3. Inflation once again starting to dominate and cast more in doubts across many asset classes, including the Forex space. And while the Fed did say that they might be open to starting discussions on when they might taper bond purchases in the near future, we haven't seen the dollar really move with much strong conviction in with regards to this. Like, once again, we start off with the dollar and see how that actually emanates across the broader FX space. And we track some of the bigger moves, at least, over the last 5 days among currencies in the region. Once again, on Forex Fridays, we are joined by Mr. Han Tan, analyst at FXTM. Han, thanks so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these very uncertain times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Friday. At least I hope it is up in Kuala Lumpur.
Well, we are waiting for some potential news about the pandemic developments or virus curbing measures. So we'll just have to wait and see. But until then, let's talk shop.
Let's just do that. And Han, you know, we're starting to sound like a bit of a broken record on Forex Fridays talking about the Federal Reserve and the U.S. dollar. But honestly, it is one of the major drivers in the Forex space. Now, in the Fed's recent minutes, they did indicate that while rates may stay lower for longer, they may start discussing ways to trim monthly asset purchases in future meetings. Now, mind you, these are just discussions that they're planning, not exactly enacting some of these asset purchase trims at the moment. The dollar did firm up for a bit. Now, do rate hikes matter more than lower bond buying when it comes to the greenback? What are your thoughts with regards to these two policy tools the Fed has? What will matter more actually for the dollar, where the rates are or when they might just reduce bond buying?
Yeah, look, they're all interlinked, right? So okay. With the timeline that we're working with, you know, the idea is that the tapering would then lead to an eventual rate hike, right? So I think right now, because of the immediacy of the timeline and, you know, given the kind of tones coming out of other G10 central banks like Canada and the UK and what they're doing with their respective asset purchasing program, you know, I think that is the primary focus now, you know, in terms of what the Fed plans or whether they will offer more concrete signals about their tapering plans, right? Because I think arguably this is the primary driver in the markets right now, that being the Fed's tapering timeline. So, you know, until we have some more overt communication out of the Fed, you know, investors are obviously looking towards the data that could pave the way for that tapering. All right, so data that points to faster inflation, of course, we've got to see what happens in the jobs market as well. You know, and if all of these signs can move closer to those pre-pandemic levels, that could then hasten the tapering, and then that should eventually lead to the rate hike. And all that, obviously, all those shifting expectations obviously having its impact on the dollar.
So, you know, the U.S. dollar could have a bit of a case to strengthen, though, if support is tapered, depending on when that happens. But, of course, if the dollar starts to flex, this could mean more headwinds for emerging markets. Specifically, for the ASEAN region, though, which currency might be most at risk of getting caught with their caught unaware amidst this inflation and taper talk from the greenback? Who do you think is most vulnerable at the moment in our region, Han?
Yeah. I mean, if we use the 2013 taper tantrum as the historical precedent, then of course, the eyes naturally gravitated towards the Indonesian rupiah, right? I think mainly because of the precedents. But, you know, if you're going to rationalize that from a fundamental perspective, if you look at the yield spread, for example, you know, that has been one of the major factors influencing the rupiah's performance. So if that differential is eroded, right, because of another climb higher in U.S. yields, then that could spur investor outflows, potentially weakening support for the rupiah. You also take into account the nation's current account deficit. Just this morning, they announced that the current account balance reversed into a deficit for the first quarter there. You know, so I think if you look at some of these metrics, then you can understand perhaps why Indonesia might take a lion's share of the market attention if we do see another spike up in yield. So, you know, with all that in mind, even if you look at the implied volatilities, okay, for Asian currencies as a whole, for 1 year out, okay, you've got the Indonesian rupiah that leads the region, not just ASEAN, but Asia as a whole. And so you think, you know, those kind of expectations for that timeline, for that 1 year timeline, is due to the expectation that the tapering could start by then. The U.S. Fed tapering could start by then, or at least more overt communication from the Fed that it intends to do so. So I think the next few months could be really key here for what happens with the Indonesian rupiah.
We're still speaking to Han Tan, analyst at FXTM here on Forex Fridays. Han, let's stay with inflation because, again, as we mentioned, it is one of the dominant themes for markets at the moment. And, of course, when we talk about inflation, it's also driven in part by the big move in commodity prices over the last 2 weeks. Now, we've seen talk of that super cycle actually put on pause in the last couple of days, for the time being at least. But with metal prices easing, the Australian dollar has become a bit of a currency of focus because of the role as one of the major miners in the world. Could the curtailment of commodity price upticks cool the jets of the sometimes red-hot Aussie, which, by the way, is also getting an boost from more macro signs that the job market, consumer sentiment in Australia keeps picking up? How do you think this plays as a potential blunting for the Aussie's momentum, if it does at all?
It has, actually. So if you look at the performance of the Aussie dollar over the past couple of weeks, and it has been one of the bigger losers in the G10 space, and that coincides with the declines in, say, if you look at the Bloomberg Commodities Index. So, yeah, you know, over the past 2 weeks with commodities coming off their peaks, no surprise, you've got the likes of the Aussie dollar and also the Norwegian krona, right? Both commodity-linked currencies, both among the biggest G10 losers against the dollar for the period. But then having said that, you know, I think it's still too early to say that the commodities complex has actually peaked. I mean, sure, you have some government intervention to cool prices, right? But if you look further out and if you still cling fast to the global economic recovery narrative, right, it's still got more ways to go. In fact, it may get another boost once the laggards that are still contending with the pandemic right now, they actually get to jump on the bandwagon and take significant strides into the post-pandemic era, right? So with that demand recovery potentially giving another leg up for commodities and then by extension into commodity currencies as well, like the Aussie dollar, you know, so I think all that could spell more upside for the Aussie against the greenback, and especially if the greenback behaves and sticks to its weakening trend that we had anticipated at the start of this year. So, but you know, from a technical perspective, look, I mean, I'm looking at the 50-day moving average as well. It looks pretty good as a support level. So even if we were to pare back some of its gains, I think it would be limited given the macro indicators that I spoke about just now.
Absolutely. Okay, Han, we have to talk about reversals at the moment. And it's also a bit worrying to track the rising COVID-19 cases we've seen in Taiwan, this island that has been lauded as one of the best, if not the best, at handling the COVID-19 pandemic, also proved positive of just how humbling this virus can be, actually, for even the best at handling some of these outbreaks at the moment. It also runs the risk of undermining Taiwan's excellent economic trajectory and also possibly hitting their very strong currency at the moment. What might this mean for the Taiwan dollar now? How have the events of the last few weeks in Taiwan perhaps shaped or maybe altered your view on the Taiwan dollar, if it has at all?
I wouldn't say it's altered it much, but I think, I think if you zoom out, right, obviously developments surrounding the local spread of COVID-19 does have a major say on the currency's performance, right? But if you look at the Taiwanese dollar, it has been hovering around that 28 mark versus the greenback so far this month. So I think overall there are enough supportive elements for the Taiwanese dollar. For example, if you look at the rush for its exports, right, for its chips exports, as it rides on the global economic recovery. So even policymakers in Taiwan, they expect a limited fallout, at least for now, from the spread of COVID-19 there. In numerical terms, they're looking at 0.16 percentage points for this quarter being shaved off GDP. But if it extends into next quarter, that's only about half a percentage point. Keep in mind the projections for GDP growth this year is about 4 to 5%, right? So again, you know, I think what I can say is that while this outbreak could dampen its upside, I think as long as it remains manageable, and the situation that doesn't deteriorate significantly further, I really don't see a big reason as of yet why the Taiwanese dollar can't hang on to its year-to-date gains.
All right. And finally, Han, let's return to inflationary pressures for the meantime. And with inflation rising, I do want to revisit our overall outlook on gold, which has had a relatively shaky start to the year, actually. But could the precious metal actually start to see better days if inflationary pressures prove more persistent? And how might gold trade if we start to see rates also press higher for the most part? Share with us your updated outlook on the safe haven precious metal gold.
Yeah, well, we're having this chat after gold prices had just notched six consecutive days of gains. That's the longest winning streak since the tail end of 2020 going into this year, right? So I think investors are finally coming back around to it. And of course, there have been quite a few factors going gold's way. You've got the weaker dollar that we spoke about. Treasury yields have been stabilizing. You've got fund flows into those bullion-backed ETFs, you know. But I think it's the volatility in cryptos that we've been seeing in recent weeks. I think that has also played a big part because, you know, as we spoke about, I believe the last time I was on the show, look, these alternative assets, right? They have been vying for the status as an inflation hedge. But I think after seeing that. 30+% plunge, Wednesday or today, right? I think that might cause investors to kind of think twice about it. And, you know, investors are now gravitating back towards something that's more tried and tested, all right? So, I mean, from a technical perspective, we are seeing some overbought levels right now. The relative strength index is above 70. It's trading around the upper band of its Bollinger band. So, you know, it could be right for a pullback in the near term, but I think overall there are more gains to be held. More gains to be had, at least until the Fed actually starts outlining more concrete details about its tapering plans.
Han Tan, analyst at FXTM, thank you so much for joining us today on Forex Fridays. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. And meanwhile, stay safe, and we all the best out in Malaysia, sir.
You guys have a good weekend.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.